honest, I bet Dave's never listened to that again.
I'm not saying a word.
I'm sorry. Hello there. It is 31 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of July.
It is.
The year... In the year of our Lord, 2006.
After the weekend, after Americans wasted $152 million on the worst movie of the year.
So you went to see it, huh?
Tim's
I had a good nap, yes.
Tim's opening words to me when he came in today. We're already off track. We're not even 30 seconds in. I was sitting in my office preparing some whimsicality for today's broadcast. I'm sitting there kind of hunched over doing my thing, highlighting and scrolling and circling and scribbling and marking and annotating. And Tim comes in. You know what Tim is? Tim is sort of the zany next-door neighbor.
Like Thorny?
Yeah, exactly. On on any number of American sitcoms, you would be the guy...
Helping myself to soda.
Yeah, you are the Kramer. Before Kramer, there was Larry, the downstairs neighbor on Three's Company. There's also the guy, the half-faced guy on Home Improvement, the guy... Do we even know his name? Is this some guy? The neighbor, you never see his whole face?
No, you know his name on the show. I can't remember it, though.
All right. But Tim is the guy who doesn't just open the door, just bursts in the door, and then there's prolonged studio applause, and then he says something kooky. Anyway, so I was in my office this morning working on the program, and Tim immediately bursts into my office and says, I fell asleep during Pirates of the Caribbean. And then just went about his business. All right. Well, we'll talk more about that here in a second. We weren't talking about Dave Paul just before the show. If anybody got the idea that we were talking about former newsman Dave Paul, that is in fact
not... Well, he is gainfully employed at some fine radio station somewhere.
Uh-huh. All right. It is the Rick Emerson Show. If you'd like to be part of today's broadcast, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Sorry. I was thinking about a joke I heard earlier. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com.
Stretching the tape in a dozen places and putting it right back in the box.
Rick at rickemerson.com. So he gave it to you. He's probably never even listened to it again because otherwise he'd know that you destroyed it.
Well, no. I'm not going to say who this was.
Of course.
Once upon a time.
It certainly wasn't Dave Paul, who we were just denying any discussion
of. Somebody gave
ago.
Me a rare tape of their career, and I put it on a nut, so I didn't know the machine was going to stretch and snap the tape to smithereens on several places.
And the best part is how, after this guy gives you this worth its weight in gold, irreplaceable tape, like the greatest tape of his radio career. Tim, these are all my radio highlights.
These are my finest.
This can never be replaced. This is indispensable and unreplicable. I'd like you to listen to it now on this ancient reel-to-reel machine. And then you destroyed it.
It was the machine.
Yeah, and the best part is how you just rewound it and put it back in the box and silently gave it back to him. With no noting out loud that you destroyed it. Oh, my God. Not Dave Paul that happened to,
no,
though. Somebody else.
No. We worked with a variety of people over the years.
We
ruined many careers.
We talking about a guy named Paul Davis.
You used to be our program director.
Oh, okay. Hey, it's Monday. Well, let's see what damage we can do today, shall we? It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com.
Snap, stretch.
Tim, what did you think of my tape? Oh, it's brilliant. Here you go. Never listen to it again. Don't even take it out of the box, Dave. You don't want to expose that to harmful oxygen, the elements. You just leave it in the box. Don't ever try to string it up again. All right, it is Monday. Coming up today, we have not a single, not a double, not a triple, but I believe it's a 3.5. Isn't there a diving term for that? It's like a triple and a half gain thing. We have 3.5 Darwin watchers today.
Yes.
It was a good weekend for dumb people killing themselves. 3, and they were trickling in. It was sort of like watching the ticker on the stock market.
It was after these dumb people went to the movies.
It was after Pirates of the Caribbean stripped them of their remaining intelligence. Let's light the oven with gunpowder, honey. It's Rick Emerson, short on show material. Let us attempt to start something with lighter fluid and a gun. So Friday it was like one guy dead. By Saturday, 2. By Sunday morning, 3. And by this morning, 3.5 stupid people dead. So we will talk about that clown watch coming up today. That's a great clown watch, too. And this one doesn't involve small children for the first time in a long time. This, thank heavens for tender mercies. Snuff watch of a guy I don't really care about and that you've probably never heard of. Gary Baumgarten will be joining us from New York City, where apparently a guy, I think he was successful in killing himself, but he took out...
Nobody died, believe it or not.
Even the guy?
A building blows up in New York, and nobody died.
Well, he destroyed the entire building.
It was a dark use building, yeah.
All right, so we'll talk to Gary Baumgarten about that. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy calling us from the Dirty South, where gas, I think it's like it is now. Is gas over $3 here?
Oh,
it's gone up like 11 cents in a week.
It's below that. It's like $2.94.
But it's still gone up a whole lot.
But no matter how much you put in, it's still barely above empty. It's enough to get you home after you go to the gas station, and that's it.
I need enough so I can roll back to my garage, sir. I'm going to ask him for the 500th time this year why gas prices do this, and he will again say that he doesn't know. And then we will chortle heartily and speak together as men.
Call your congressman and tell him you want more oil refineries and clean coal technology.
Can we invade some other countries so we can lower the price of their gas again? Let's see. I believe we're going to be talking to Storm Large today. You know why that's good news? Well, I mean, you know, in and of the, apart from the fact that it's just fantastic to, you know, to talk to her, find about the rock star thing, it's because over the weekend I created Stormwatch. I didn't do it myself, though. Our good friend Jarris had, this guy Jarris had sent me, I got an email like, here's a Stormwatch, do with it what you will. I had already started working on my own, and then I found out mine was okay, his was okay, together, genius. So I merged the two. So, even though the show is not until tomorrow, I think she's calling it today. Because I think it's part of the rule that she can't call either of the days the show is on. So I think only Monday, Thursday, or Friday. These are the only 3 days she has. And then, you know, and they're busy frolicking in the hot tub most of the time anyway. So we have to kind of take her when we can get her. So we'll talk to Storm Storm Large later today as part of our Storm Watch. I believe Peter Carlin will be on today as well. But I honestly don't know. Because he's gotten all famous and what everybody around us.
This is just a showcase of stars.
It really is. It's basking in the reflected luminescence of the Rick Emerson radio program. If Storm gets on Rockstar, Peter Carlin, we got to give a shout out to that guy. His book, Catch a Wave, which is about Brian Wilson, got an A in this week's Entertainment Weekly, the Boston Globe. I know all this, by the way, because Peter himself sent me an email telling me this. The Boston Globe called me excellent. I rule. He's also in the Daily Mail, et cetera, et cetera. So if he's still good enough to speak to us, we'll talk to Peter Carlin later on today as well. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who is pretty in pink today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am.
Did you say sir or sir?
Yeah, I was adjusting my microphone, and then I said sir, and then it was the whole thing.
Okay.
I was hoping he wouldn't notice.
Okay, I did.
Move on.
All right.
Okay. And there you go. Here's Tim Riley working on these stories today for you.
Well, China bans the Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest due to references to cannibalism. A New York building blows up right in front of Larry King. Madonna denies she's quitting Kabbalah. And attention, ladies, former Portland police chief Foxworth is back to work. Why not send him an email and say welcome back?
Is he back on the market?
Yes.
Was he married when that whole thing happened?
I believe so.
I think he had already been divorced.
No, but because wasn't this woman the mistress of his... She was like a second mistress. She was like a 11... She was like a second breakfast kind of a thing.
It's hard to keep them all straight. Okay.
We need trading cards for that, too. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. And so there you go. So that's what's coming up today. At no point would there be any awkward discussion of last week on another radio program.
Oh.
Where apparently we now comprise about 90% of the show prep and material. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't, you know, because...
Maybe we shouldn't talk about it right now, and we can let the clips that we have speak for themselves.
Hey, way to go, Sarah. Did look at you stepping in and finding the equitable solution. All right. So I don't want to be that guy. She's coming on, dwelling on it, being all angry and bitter about the apparent wholesale theft of our show material by someone else. Or in this case, a few someone else's. Well, we have the audio. Scotty J is chopping it up right now. He's in the back room. He went through the first pass. He went through it and he chopped. You know, because I don't need to sit here and bore everybody with his ears by playing it. You know, by playing Deftones songs over and over again. So I was having him chop out the music. So it was just the talk segment, which is easy because all told it's about 16 minutes. And so he was cutting it all down. But then his first pass through, he couldn't help himself. So he was editing out just the talk segments from this zany FM radio program. He was editing out just the talk. But then he had to Scuddy J-eyes all of it, and he went through and put a bunch of, like boing boing sound effects and like weird musical drop-ins and like the sound of gnomes cackling, even like for no reason, just in the background. And I made him go through and take all the back out of it. He's working on that right now. We'll talk about that later on. Well, that's all we've got coming. I have nothing. 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 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior at the City Desk. It's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From highest house, the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat Tim Riley reporting. Welcome back, Portland, former Chief of Police Derek Farnsworth. Back to work today, several weeks after the mayor demoted him to the rank of captain following major sex scandals. The commander says he's happy to be back. He's doing good so far today and very happy to be here. So that's that. The mayor said that Farnsworth used poor judgment in sharing department information with this young lady named Oswald, demonstrating that he does not have the leadership capability necessary to lead the bureau effectively.
In your face! All right. So there he was, because this he was getting cell phone calls or something about police business while he was engaging in hot tub relations mm-hmm. with that blonde woman. I'm not going to say anything. We'll move on.
Speaking of using your cell phone for the right purposes and business, it wasn't too long ago that CNN ordered Larry King to carry a cell phone around. Well, he didn't want one because he says they're always crapping out everywhere.
It's newfangled technology.
They came in handy this morning after a building exploded right next to him. It's a three-story building that collapsed on Manhattan's east side. He was having his coffee, and the building housed two doctor's offices in a duplex apartment. The explosion happened a half hour before the office was supposed to open. The nurse who was sent to open up the office said she arrived late for what was supposed to be a 9 o'clock opening. The explosion took place at 8:30 a.m. Larry King was next door. From the exploding building, he was one of the first on the scene with his...
I saw it. A lot of smoke. People scurrying everywhere. And to its credit, because New York is amazing, the police, they react so quickly. Fire engines, ambulances, they rope off the streets quick. They were courteous to their people. They were never rude. They made the people back off. They handled it.
Is there like some rule that if you're a newscaster over a certain age, you have to get suspenders? Does that like come with you? With you, the pick? It's two things. You got to talk about. You have to reference Edward R. Murrow like every third sentence. Yeah. You have to talk about the golden. Now I'm doing. You have to talk about the golden days when you were hanging out with Rather and the boys at Elaine's. You have to mention being there in the Blitz in London, and then you have to have suspenders and drink a lot of gin during the day.
Yeah.
Right. So there
basically,
you go.
That's it.
There's Larry King. It's something. Where was he? He was in the building?
No, he was in the building next door.
All right. And what was he doing there? Was this in a nice part of New York?
But apparently he stays in a hotel there. He lives in a hotel.
Why?
Because he doesn't have a house.
Well, fair enough. I mean, if I had the money, I'd live in a hotel.
No, he gives the good houses to his wife, who he never sees. And stops by once a year and checks up on them.
His wife and her crazy Mormon family. I have a friend of mine who went to the most recent wedding. Because he married some chick from Salt Lake, isn't that right? Isn't this last girl? How old is Larry King, first of all? 60s, 70s?
I think people stopped counting a long time ago.
It's one of those things where it's just you agree to no longer ask. You agree to no longer to question that the age shaving that clearly goes on.
I mean, they're just glasses attached to suspenders. I mean, that's what all this is.
It's like a walnut wearing a tie. Larry King mistaken for a bowl of dried fruit today.
And he talks into a 1930s microphone that's not even plugged in.
He's got that same microphone that Letterman has, and he's got. I remember feeling a kinship one time as a young radio buck watching Larry King because he has the same phone box that we do. He has the same phone, the Telos phone system that we use. He has the same thing.
Doesn't work all the time, though.
Here's the thing. No, did you ever see that he does? He tries to bring up callers sometimes. He can't figure out what he's doing. He's constantly hitting the wrong button.
It didn't work at all the night Mary Chaney was on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Couldn't take any calls for some reason.
You know, here's the, moving on. I had some observation to make there. Blah, 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 Mormon wife, da, 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 da. No, there's two classes of people who live in hotels, though, and I hope to be one of these. Someday, when I am fantastically wealthy, I wish to live in a hotel and have no home, have no apartment, have whatever. It's like that line where, what is it, in Tombstone, where what's her name, Dana Delaney's talking about living on room service. And my friend Todd and I have talked about this a lot, because he and I grew up like watching the same kinds of films, watching the same kind of television. And there's two groups of people who live in hotels, the very rich or the very poor. If you're a whale, in the Vegas parlance, you're a guy who lives in a hotel every day, you come home. It's like, you know what it is? It's like having, it's like having a really expensive, really well-furnished small house where everything is cleaned the minute you set it down. The minute you set down a cup, the minute you leave your bedroom, everything cleaned, you come back, everything taken care of. Or if you're like, if you're one of those guys who's, like I was watching this movie, American Buffalo last night, which is this David Mamet film with Dustin Hoffman, and he lives in one of those men's hotels like they have downtown here where it's like $4 a day. So those are the only two. If you're anywhere in the middle, you don't do this. But if you're somewhere on the one of the ends of the societal and economic spectrum, you don't live in a place. You live in a hotel, which apparently Larry King does. His wives are all stashed elsewhere, I guess.
Another New York story. The man accused of having those two cordless power saws in the subway station and slashing into a postal worker's chest during a pre-dawn rampage has been ordered to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. The judge has ordered...
We find the defendant crazy but entertaining.
This fellow's name is Terryton Williams. He's 33, lives in the Bronx. He's charged with attempted murder and misdemeanor assault. He was wearing dirty socks and no shoes. He entered no plea. A witness told police he recognized Williams as the man who attacked Michael Seberg early Thursday at a station a few blocks from Columbia University. He looked at me and before I knew it, he was attacking me, said Steinberg.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's wrong.
The motor kept going on. He was trying to cut through me. I screamed for help. Please help me. Please help me.
Jesus God.
The attacker finally caused to demand money and then bolted out of the station.
So he sawed open the guy's sternum and then paused to ask for a fiver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I realize you're busy slipping on your own blood, but do you have a 10? I'm feeling a little... I need a little notch.
That's aggressive, panhandling.
No. Can I squeegee your windshield? No, then I...
I'll
cut through your spine. Oh, can I have that story?
Sure.
I'm going to put that on the wall. I've started... It's been a while since we've added story. We used to have at Entercom before they fired us. We used to have a wall where we would put stories. And what have we got up here now? We've got the thing about the skating rink riot in Gresham. Sarah wasn't here for that one. We've got this headline. Cruz says, I'll eat placenta. Now going up there will be this power saw story.
Don't forget about the girl with the zipper and the eyelid.
Is that up here too? Oh, yeah, yeah, the girl with the eyelid and the zipper. This is fantastic. Wearing dirty socks and no shoes. You know, it's things like that that really, that are creepy. It's not so much like a guy, you know what it is? It's not so much like when you go to a guy's house and he has a collection of severed heads and feet. I mean, that is creepy, but it's like a collection of severed heads and feet, and then they're all wearing like Mickey Mouse ears. Like, that's really just, that's the subtle difference. That's the little Emerson twist that's good enough for a place on the wall. Pause to demand money. He was trying to cut through me. Well, that's the fastest way to the other side, I guess. There you go. Well, we'll put that up on the wall here. There you go. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, it has broken all box office records in the U.S., but Chinese fans of Johnny Depp may have to resort to bootleg DVDs like that's anything new to watch Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, after the country's notorious censors blamed it from cinematic release. Reports from China's media suggest the movie, which took in a swashbuckling $132 million in the first 3 days, fell foul with the censors due to its violent and supernatural content. But according to the Shanghai Daily, the ban resulted from censors' objections to the portrayal of human cannibalism. Number two, Superman Returns. Number three, The Devil Wears Prada.
All right. And so you fell asleep.
I fell asleep.
How far into the movie were you when you fell asleep?
It was like a half an hour, but it seemed like 2 hours.
The best part was that you said you woke up and you didn't even feel like you'd missed anything.
No, I didn't feel it. You know, there was really no story to this. What this was a bunch of action scenes spliced together.
It was like watching someone else ride a theme park ride.
It was
ride.
Like going to Disneyland and watching everyone else ride the ride.
See, which is too... I mean, you figure that
and
they've
had... this is a 2.5 hour infomercial for Disney.
And they've had all of this time to make a good film. You know what I mean? Again, I thought the first one was decent. The first one had... But you know, here's the thing. The first film to me... You know what it was, and I use this analogy a lot, but I got a tiny brain. What are you going to do? The first movie to me was it was like a bowl of Lucky Charms, and Johnny Depp was the marshmallow. You know, you just kept waiting for him to come back, and every time they would cut away to something, to some sort of a plot or story or whatever, I just kept waiting for them to get back to him to have the more zany pirate witticisms. It was like that with Batman Begins too. Every time they would decide to take up endless amounts of screen time all of these tedious sleep-inducing action sequences, I just wanted more. Patrick, I'm doing that thing. Not Christian Patrick Bale? Bateman. Christian Bale. You know, a lot of people do that, too. I know a whole lot of people that that now and forever refer to that guy as Patrick Bateman. I just kept waiting for them to get back to Christian Bale. And so you'd figure with Pirates of the Caribbean 2, they got to know where your bread is buttered. And it would just be endless scenes of Johnny Depp just cavorting and being a big gay Keith Richards, which is apparently what that is. And so...
So first they're stuck in a giant... Everything is giant. They're always stuck in something giant. They're stuck in a giant cage teetering over this cliff.
Right.
Will they fall? Then they're in a giant wheel rolling around. Will the wheel end up in the water? Then here comes a giant octopus. So everything is giant, 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 which is right out of a Disney theme park. So right. It's like sitting on a bench in the afternoon in Disneyland watching this whole thing happen.
Sitting there watching fat children get on the Matterhorn. Yeah. And so it's two and you said it's 2.5 hours long, which
well,
is no
well, it would have been if I hadn't fallen asleep. I think it was like more than an hour.
The Tim Riley edit of it is only 90. Yeah. The
I woke up feeling refreshed, though. I felt so good after that nap.
You felt reinvigorated and you were okay about losing your $9.50.
Because I knew the giant octopus was going to come back, and sure enough, there is a giant octopus.
I know that I'm the guy who's always saying that people shouldn't bitch about short films. But there is such a thing as like a judicious middle somewhere where it's not too short, but it's not 2.5 hours. I mean, Superman was like 2.5 hours too, and the thing where it had that Lord of the Rings problem where it kept ending. It would end, and then you're like, oh, hurrah, I can leave. And then it would fade. Nah, God damn it. And then it would fade, and then it's something else. And then it's the Perry, and it's like everybody in the movie got their own ending. You know, Perry White got his own ending. The freaking shoeshine guy got his own ending. Lex Luthor got his own ending. The cuckolded husband who's, man, and, you know, the more I talk about that, the more I get email from other guys that are angry about it. I'm not really angry about it because I don't have any kids, so I don't really relate to it. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't hit home with me in any way. I do not, I sympathize, but do not empathize. But the more guys out there see that Superman film, the more they're pissed off about that whole ending. Mm-hmm. Which, I taught you, you've already heard this ending, right?
I don't know.
Well, it's not a big spoiler, but I mean, the kid, the adorable little Muppet, is Superman's kid. And yet everybody in the movie knows it, except for what's-his-name, that Lois Lane is living with. Like the guy who's...
the guy that looks like Dennis Pitzenbogger.
Yeah, he played Cyclops in what's his name, Rupert Holmes? No, that's the Pina Colada guy. Yeah. Is that the Pina Colada song guy? Hello, I'm old.
Half the audience is under a certain age has no
idea. Is it Harry Casey? Okay, how was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so not only is the guy raising another man's kid, thinking it's his own, but everybody in Metropolis knows that the kid is Superman's, except for the guy raising him. The best part is, he's paying to raise the other guy's kid, too. Superman, to our knowledge, kicks in no child support of any kind. He's walking around the house like an a-hole, raising some other guy's kid. Good times for everyone. Here's Tim Riley.
So anyway, the best thing out there right now is The Devil Wears Prada because it has a beginning, middle, and an end.
And it's less
and
than
the characters
4 hours
interact.
Long. Yeah. Now, I'll admit it. I'm gonna go see it this week, largely because of my wife. But, you know, I got a thing for Meryl Streep, too. And that's a little...
Oh, if you have a thing for her, you will love her in this.
And I know that there's... Look, and I know that I'm alone in that. Meryl Streep is typically one of those women that only other women find attractive. She's sort of like Gwyneth Paltrow in that way, that women are all, she's so beautiful! And guys don't see it at all. I'm the first to admit, though, that I got a strange thing from Meryl Streep. A, because I loved her, because I grew up as a kid watching her like in like Silkwood and Pritzi's Honor, you know, and those films. And then I've talked about this before and taken much scorn for him, but I had a whole thing for the Bridges of Madison County. I have admitted that I sat there and cried like a little girl, cried like a blubbering little skirt-wearing schoolgirl at the Bridges of Madison County, which I feel I'm allowed to do because it's a movie directed by and starring Clint Eastwood, so it's okay to cry at it. Like, it's a buy. You know what I mean? Like, normally a man could not cry at any movie starring Meryl Streep, but because Eastwood is there, it's okay. It adds a certain sort of ruggedness once removed. My point is, I'm going to end up going to see that this week. And let me just tell you this, though, while we're talking about movies.
Yes.
I did see the most amazing film this weekend. And I'm all unclear about whether to recommend it, though, because...
Did you fall asleep?
No, I didn't fall asleep. No, it's a great film. Lara didn't really care for it, but I kind of knew she wouldn't. It's more of a me film than a her. Because, you know, all couples have this, you know, this is either you film or is it a them film. And it's like, you know, and that's why, you know, back before his wife died, Don Geronimo and Fred, they had that whole thing, which Lara and I have talked about adopting, which is where they alternate. She picks one, he picks one. She picks one, he picks one. And we don't really do that at our house. It's just like whoever has the most energy to like, dig in their feet and scream about it and insist. And so usually that ends up being me, just because I throw a fit. I don't want to see The Devil Wears Prada. I want to go see this movie where stuff explodes and blood rains out of the sky. But we went to see this movie called Brick, which is at the Laurelhurst.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Unreal. And I see, I can unhesitatingly recommend stuff for you, but not so much for Tim, because there was this whole unpleasantness when I recommended Sin City.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I was scarred for life.
Tim came in. That was a horrible film. Why did you I did not know that a dog was going to eat a man's legs.
No, I just saw Kiss Kiss Bang Bang last night.
What'd you think?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that great?
That movie is incredible.
See, but I can't recommend it because it's like, I feel
like it.
But see, here's the thing about Tim. Is that I feel like I got one big movie strike with you already because of Sin City, and I'm so reluctant to ever get... Did you ever have somebody do that? They recommend, like, a band or a movie, and you see it, and it's just crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you look at that person a little differently from then on. You know, it's like knowing they've been to prison.
That's my thing with Napoleon Dynamite. I can't...
I am
too judgmental when it comes to that.
Don't even start.
I know.
Did you ever see it? You and Jordy saw it.
I saw it.
Yeah. Ugh. It's like pounding on your own toes with a mallet.
I liked it.
Oh!
No!
Oh, are you just saying that to screw with us?
No.
Oh, why did you have to say that?
It was.
That's like when you find out some friend of yours had to change their name because they used to hang around the schoolyard.
It was a good way to while away a cloudy Saturday afternoon.
And several points off your IQ and your money and your self-respect. Why would you? All right, well, you know what?
It was on somewhere.
No.
Nothing else was working.
No.
The car was out of gas.
Stop it now.
A big fire destroyed everything around me.
Okay, here's the thing, is I'm willing to overlook it, Tim.
Okay.
Because I'm willing to overlook it, but you know what it is? That's going to atone right there for my Sin City recommendation. I no longer feel bad about sending you to see Tobey Maguire's torso eaten by a dog. We're
even.
Elijah Wood.
Was it Tobey Maguire? No, it was Elijah Wood. I always get them confused. Wood. Elijah Wood. I no longer feel bad about that. We are now even. We are now at par in parity.
Okay, could I correct myself in saying...
No. What?
I wasn't offended by it.
By what? By Napoleon?
Yeah.
I was offended by that movie in every conceivable way. All right, I don't even have time to talk about Brick. We'll do it when we come back.
We have Utah film sanitizers to discuss.
Fantastic. That'll be a good segue right there. All right, 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. We will be back with more, including CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. We got Ed McCarthy coming up later on. Peter Carlin, I believe. Stormwatch, all of that is the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Fantastic. Great, thanks. It's the Rick Emerson Show. I can't believe you just said that.
I know.
503-733-2970. Scotty J just used a very crude phrase.
I'm sensing another fan debate.
Yeah. All right.
Great.
Want to be fan like fans of our program? What are you talking about?
No, you remember the unpleasantness.
Which, there's been like 18 unpleasantnesses.
Yeah,
now.
Remember when we got into a little, fight with them?
Who?
The guys at the fan.
Oh, why couldn't you just say that?
You're talking to fan guys.
Who knows what that means? You're talking about fan people.
Okay.
I have no idea. I do remember that. Oh, we have Clyde Lewis today. Oh, I feel like a tool. I forgot about that. Oh, I'm sorry, Clyde. Well, we'll do Baumgarten, then we'll get Clyde. Oh, that's my fault. No, you know why? It's because it doesn't feel like a Monday to me. Because I've been all day long, I've been thinking it was Wednesday for some reason, which makes no sense. Usually you're a day ahead or day behind. Like you think it's Sunday or you think it's Tuesday. I've been thinking it was Wednesday. All right.
What does Wednesday feel like?
Today, apparently. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I love New York City. Sort of a tastes like chicken, tastes like babies kind of a thing. New York City. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the city that never sleeps, Gary Baumgarten, CNN radio correspondent to the stars. Hello, how are you, sir?
Yo, how are you?
Hey, I haven't had an eventful morning like you and Larry King apparently have.
Oh, yeah, Larry King was knocked out of bed, I think, this morning.
Let me ask you this. Why does Larry King live in a hotel room?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I mean,
I could do that.
No, it is kind of cool. I was saying earlier that there's only two groups of people who live in a hotel room, the very rich or the very poor. If you're very rich, you live there, and it's a whole lot of, like, have it sent up to my room, and you live there every day, like Tony Soprano. Or if you're very poor, you live there, and it's always right next to an off-track betting place.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
you have to share the bathroom. Those are the kind of living quarters I'd be stuck in.
And
I lived in a hotel.
There's, like, a woman in a bulletproof cage down below that takes your weekly rent and tells you not to use up all the towels. Yeah. So a guy blew up. Intentionally or unintentionally, a whole building today.
What an idiot, huh? I guess he figured if his ex-wife was going to get in, he was going to make sure nobody did. He went through a divorce. He's a doctor. His practice was on the first floor. It's a four-story building. There are apartments overhead. And apparently he decided that he was going to blow the place up with him inside in order to commit suicide. And so, I don't know, last count I think it was 14 people were injured. He was the most seriously injured one because he was stuck under the debris.
But even he didn't die. He didn't even die, though.
Not only did he not die, while he's lying there under the debris, he grabs a phone and dials 911 to direct the rescuers to where he is. So.
Oh, idiot. But I don't mean to make light of this, but it's just so ironic and ridiculous. Is it true? And there was a bunch of firefighters injured in this whole thing, right?
Yeah, there were like four or five firefighters injured. His nurse was just walking into the building when it blew up. You know, thankfully she wasn't killed. You know, somebody smelled natural gas. They called the gas company, the Con Ed guy, getting out of the truck. I mean, he could have been blown up inside the building, too. Yeah, these people will commit suicide, especially in this kind of a manner, or attempt to commit suicide. You know, they don't think about the ramifications for other people.
Are they going to sue this guy and make him pay for all this stuff?
I would imagine he'll get... I imagine he'll be prosecuted if he survives in critical condition.
It is sort of a testament to the sound construction of New York City buildings that, I mean, this building was destroyed, but everything on either side of it looked all untouched.
Wasn't that cool?
It was very cool, actually. I looked at the picture, and it was, you know, guys love to see things sort of just, you know, in piles. But on either side of it, it was like you could just sweep it out and put a new one right in that slot. It's like you couldn't even see it. And then Larry King, who claims that he never wanted a cell phone, but that CNN forced him to get one, just sort of stumbled out of the building and said, I am Larry King looking at a pile of rubble. Just totally right there, so.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. That's how it is in New York, you know.
It really is.
You happen to be at the right place at the right time, and boom, you know, you're on top of the story.
And you know the thing about this gas explosion that I always wonder is because you always see that in the old movies where the gangsters want to get rid of a building or a guy wants to kill himself, and they turn on the gas, and then, like, there's a bag of sugar, like holding a match, and, like, the sugar has a hole in it, and so the bag of sugar empties out, and then the match falls, and it strikes the, you know, candle, and then the whole building goes up. Is it really honestly just that simple if you have gas in your building? You can just turn on the stove, leave it running for a while, and then blow up the whole building? I mean, it seems like that's dangerous.
Is that what we want to do, is put out a prescription for people to blow up their buildings on the radio?
Clearly, people already know how to do it. I'm just saying.
I know, but we have to give the idea to other people, too.
Of course, that's just theoretical. CBS Radio doesn't advocate any such behavior.
That's right.
I saw that.
I know you know I would do that, but, I mean, I've seen enough times where accidentally people have blown up their buildings, you know, because they were to light the pilot light and the gas was on too long. They flipped the bic and kaboom, you know. So, I mean, it can happen. It's not something to play with, natural gas at all. So.
Seriously.
But this guy apparently was intent. I mean, he sent out this morning to a whole slew of people a 27-page rambling email, you know, saying goodbye to everybody.
You know, just jump out of a building like everybody else. I mean,
you can land on somebody, you know? It's horrible when people do things like that.
And it was only a three-story building anyway, I guess. He had to jump out
four stories, probably.
All right, Gary Baumgarten, thank you, sir. I know you got a busy day, so we will talk to you very soon. All right,
there
you go. Gary Baumgarten, live in New York. There you go. Excellent. All right. Let's welcome now also to the Rick Emerson Show, the original Harry Scary Guy from ClydeLewis.com. Clyde Lewis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I hope they're planning on doing some coverage of the buildings that collapsed in places like Idaho and Montana and other places around the world.
Is there an epidemic of building collapse?
I just think it's stupid. I mean, it's like this guy does this. I think it's because of the fact these guys are so, you know, they're so shell-shocked for 9/11. They want to make sure that this is another... I mean, the White House even had to issue a statement saying, oh, by the way, this apartment was not...
No, it was fantastic. This building was completely destroyed, and everything on either side of it, guys are like, yeah, whatever, give me a bagel. Like, they didn't even do business. Life just kind of kept on going. Nothing was even scratched on either side of it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And Larry King was there. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was great. Any story that involves the appearance of Larry King in any way.
I mean, he wouldn't be at Iowa. Iowa is.
So, does he live in that place, and then his, like, Mormon wife lives in Utah?
That's what we were wondering about earlier. She lives like in, you know, in like Weber County or something.
I think she lives in like Provo and he lives in New York. That's really kind of a long distance relationship, I guess.
Yeah, thanks for him.
Yeah, well, how much can he really take, you know, that heart of his, you know?
That's true.
What's up in your world?
Oh, a lot of weird things are happening in my world. Matt Haley, the man behind the Superman comic book, Superman Returns comic book, is going to be at Ground Zero Lounge next week. Not this week, but next week. He's going to be speaking with me. He's going to be up on stage, and he's also going to be doing a signing at Powell's. And he's also doing a show for the Sci-Fi Channel called Who Wants to Be a Superhero, I think is the name of the show.
Right.
And so he's going to be there at Dante's, not this week, but next week. We're going to be having some good times at Dante's tonight. Also, I'll be working with the TAPS Pararadio crew. That's Grant Wilson and Jason Haas, the two guys who are the Roto-Rooter guys who go out and do ghost hunting.
What? I'm sorry?
The
sounded like you said Roto-Rooter guys who do ghost hunting.
Yeah, they do. They're Roto-Rooter guys, and they do ghost hunting.
Is it like a double-sided business card? Like maybe you got sewage problems, maybe you got a poltergeist?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
They're on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's the number one rated reality program next to Storm Large appearing on Rockstar Supernova, which I don't miss, and I want everybody to go out and vote and make sure you vote hundreds and thousands of times. Because she's amazing and she's going to win. So that's the way it goes.
This whole is just like a synaptic overload. It's just too much to process. There's ghosts, there's Roto-Rooters, there's Storm Large, there's...
I know. They're all amazing.
Okay.
That's my life. Just one cool. Oh, and another cool thing is going on, too. There is a role-playing game that's going to be devised that is going to be about Ground Zero. And it's going to be called Ground Zero Infestation. Creators...
Ground Zero what?
Infestation.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm mishearing everything.
No, it's infestation. And basically what it's me, Aaron, and Sadie taking on the world against alien diseases and infestations and microbial. It's just an amazing...
What in the hell are you talking about?
A role-playing game called Ground Zero.
In which Sadie is fighting microbial attacks?
No, in which and Aaron are fighting microbial aliens and basically we're the
having a flashback.
Well, no, we fight the evil that is the alien horde. It's an amazing game they're creating for us, and in fact,
all right.
They're right now looking into our bios, and they're digging and they're trying to get some dirt on all of us. It's gonna be a lot of fun because, in fact, it's funny because Aaron says this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to him. He's gonna be he gets to be in a role playing game.
Your life is not like that of other people.
No, it's not, not at all.
All right, thank you, Clyde Lewis tonight at Dante. See him at ClydeLewis.com as well. Thank you, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there you go. There's Clyde. And what? Where can I go from there? It's like 20 minutes behind.
I know. You surprised him though.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut him off.
Oh.
I didn't mean to sound... Well, really, that call was so packed full of stuff. That was like, really, pound for pound, that was like the most packed call. That's what I'm saying. I was overwhelmed. And I didn't understand any of it. It's all completely mystifying. So, there you go. When you look at Sadie, you think fighting microbes. Or whatever. I'm so confused. I have no idea. All right. What are we doing? What were we doing before Aaron and Sadie and Clyde started being role-playing characters? Which does seem inevitable, by the way. I don't know if you look at them and think fighting microbes, but you do look at Clyde and think that Clyde really does seem like he ought to be in some sort of role-playing game. There's probably a joke there that I'm missing somewhere. All right, were we doing news? All right, what kind of news were we doing?
Factual news.
Interspersed with commentary, which is clearly labeled, Dan.
Truthful news.
Exactly. All right. A whole hour has almost slipped away, and I feel like you during Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm not even sure I was here for most of it. I think I just blinked somehow, and I've had a big whack taken out of my time frame. All right. Well, let's continue then with this truthful. Oh, I was talking about movies, but we'll have to get back to it.
Oh, we'll get to that. Back to that. In a second.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
But what I should have asked Clyde about. It says here, with a gentle tug and a bit of grunt, two spacewalkers from the Shuttle Discovery removed a faulty part from the International Space Station's rail cars. Apparently, they're building some train in outer space.
Well, I thought they were building an escalator.
Oh, this is a train.
Okay. I don't understand. I remember at one point, because Bruce Agler and I had long conversations about the scientific and physical feasibility of this. Mm-hmm. Remember at one point they were going to be creating an escalator that went to the moon?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks I'm crazy, but there were plans. We saw that from NASA themselves. There were schematics for this. They were going to put some huge, not fiber optic, but, you know, like an ultra-light, ultra-strong cable from Earth to, like, not the moon itself, but to a space station orbiting right near the moon. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be like a long metal cable, and it was literally going to be like a tram. It was going to be like a ski lift that, like, took you to the moon.
It's all very confusing.
So apparently, this is a train. So if you're American, you want to bring some starving Russians a snack, you jump on the space train, and you stop at the Russian space station.
I hear about those Russian stories. Russian guys in the space station.
And they're much better off starving there in outer space than they are at home.
Because every story about the Russians on the spaceship isn't what they've got nothing. Like they're having to drink their own having to drink their own recycled
water.
And they have no food and everything's breaking and they're going to like patch everything with Velcro. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go.
So that's that. Now back to Hollywood, shall we?
Fantastic.
This is about Utah film sanitizers. Well, it's a bitter 3-year legal battle involving Utah companies that sanitize movies on DVDs. And the name of this company is called Clean Flix.
Clean Flix. Now, you know, my wife's family lives in Provo, mm-hmm. near BYU. And so they're kind of right in the heart of Red State America. Mm-hmm. And actually, to get to her parents' house, you have to drive by that place. So I've actually driven by several times. There's a huge sign, Clean Flix. And then it's like a big happy sun. And the logo is like a bunch of white people like standing around watching television together and smiling and because their lives are no longer cluttered with filth and bosoms. So don't know this.
That's what they take out of these movies.
It's true.
They've been told to stop it.
This is a company. Now they're based in Utah, but I don't know if they've expanded to other idiot conservative states. Like if it's also in Wyoming and Idaho.
It says here there are 80 to 90 video stores in the U.S. Half of them in Utah that buy these edited films from Clean Flix and rent them to customers.
So the deal is that if Clean Flix sells edited versions of Hollywood movies in which they have taken out all profanity, all blasphemy, all nudity, any references to drugs, thought.
Curtains blowing in the breeze.
Yes. It's basically the opening credits and then a thing at the end where little Jimmy's cancer is cured and the dog comes back.
And everyone smiles and leaves.
And they wave into the camera and they walk into the sun and then there's a flag and then they end. But other video stores go to Clean Flix and say, well, we have a very conservative customer base that doesn't like to see anything that they disagree with or that challenges any of their bigoted preconceived notions. Do you have that? And so they'll sell you like a copy of Titanic that has no profanity, no sketching Kate Winslet, no violence, no anything, which renders it into like a 9-minute film. But the problem is they do all of this without the consent of any of the studios, which is a felony. Because it's copyright violation, because they are duplicating the film, altering it, and then re-recording it and selling it for a profit, which is, in fact, a felony. Which you'd think that, I believe there's something in the Bible about not committing felonies and not committing fraud. But, you know, what are you going to do? I'm just full of crazy talk.
Well, they've been told to stop it.
Yeah, there you go.
End
in your
of
face.
Story. Go there.
In your face. Bum, 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 bum.
Well, it seems that North Korea or no one else wants to listen to us anymore, and therefore China's move into the North Korean nuclear crisis is constructive and a positive development, according to Tony Snow.
We think it's a constructive step that the Chinese are willing to go ahead and really commit to trying to get the North Koreans to abide by the agreements they made last September 19th.
So we've just given up. Apparently, is that our whole...
Well, problem is, nobody really cares to listen to us anymore.
No, we're... Come on, please. Ah, crap. All right, China... Well, what is China going to do?
Oh, they're big. They got 1 billion people.
Yeah, but I mean,
march in and squash anything going on over there.
I guess that is true. You know what it is? Is China sort of the enforcer? Are they sort of, Johnny the Knuckles, Prinzy, or whatever, some guy? It just goes in there. Because China doesn't care about... I mean, I guess we care about proper procedure, many if it's Iraq.
Right.
But we're not crazy enough to go and start screwing with North Korea, but I guess China doesn't care because it's, you kill 1 million Chinese tomorrow, they'll have another 1 million by next week. They don't even bother.
They just tell them, take a break from assembling these Happy Meal toys and go over and squish this country in the sky.
So we're just subcontracting all of our dirty work through China now.
Yeah.
Well, that's genius. I wish I'd thought of that, actually. If I'd thought of that solution, I could have sold that to the government. Because we have nothing with which to threaten them. Although, did you see that story that Japan is threatening to attack North Korea?
Yeah.
Japan is... I didn't even think Japan had a military.
I just thought they did anime.
Yes. Yes, that's... We're just busy buying the soiled undergarments of school children. No, Japan, show's taking an awkward turn. I read some headline this morning that Japan was threatening a preemptive strike against North Korea. And I don't know what they're going to strike with. I was just going to hurl VCRs at them or something. Because I thought it was in their constitution that they couldn't have a military. Am I wrong about
that? They have what's called a domestic force, kind of like a National Guard type of thing. That's all they can have.
All right.
Well, they're giant rubber monsters at people or something.
I'm going to send Mothra. I'm going to send Gamera to go attack. All right. I'm not going to do the voice. Okay, here's Tim Ronnie.
Well, as hard to believe as this may seem, Iraq has an ambassador, and luckily he safely lives in the United States. So he's had the job for a couple of weeks now. This is Samir Samadudu, and he says, quote, Iraq is bleeding. Please help us.
What we've got to do is to complete building the institutions so that they can start taking control. That's taking place in some areas in Iraq. We have to extend that, not give up.
They have to extend it outside the green zone, which is hard.
All right. Okay.
Where is baby Suri? Inquiring Hollywood minds want to know. Ever since Hollywood hunk Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, I guess she's also said to be a hunk, had their baby on April 18th, there's been no sightings and no photos of the newborn. Us Magazine has a clock on its internet site in which it is tabulating the time elapsed from the baby's birth to the first photos.
And I shouldn't even care, but I do. We were all talking about it this morning. We were all sitting in the studio about 11:45. We're like, well, where is that baby? I wish to see it. And the weird thing is, it's some sort of Jedi mind trick. Because the thing is, I really don't care. I really don't wish to see it. Like,
but
it,
now aren't you kind of morbidly
but
curious?
But now it's like I have to. It's because they won't show it to me. That's why I want to see
it. They're hiding that baby for a reason. And, you know, a lot of Scientology doesn't follow any medical procedures. So
no.
Well, who knows what's going on with that thing?
That's crazy talk. I
think they're going to get a stunt baby.
Okay. She's going to borrow some other kid to tote around, because I didn't even want to see the baby until I realized that so much time had elapsed and they had not trotted it out for my amusement. And now I am demanding that they see. But what is its name? Suri?
Suri.
All right.
Us Magazine's Ken Baker speaks about this mystery.
Is there something wrong with the baby's health, or is it Tom just being...
Oh, wait, is this the wrong sound cut? Am I playing one or two?
Four.
Don't, what do you, no, cut, is Suri cut one?
Suri cut one, yeah.
We haven't even seen a picture of Katie Holmes carrying Suri wrapped in a blanket, or them trying to hide from photographers with the baby. We've seen nothing.
So why don't they just wrap a squash in a blanket?
He's all personally offended by it. Like it's a personal slight against him. He's, like it's, they're on his grudge list for life now.
Who do they think they are, he asks.
Is there something wrong with the baby's health? Or is it Tom just being very private? Or is it Tom is going to plan some big media blowout where he's going to unveil the baby? We just don't know.
All right. And the problem with caring is that it puts me in the same category as that guy. That's why I feel so bad now about caring about the baby, because suddenly...
We all care about the baby.
You all care about the baby. All right.
Excellent. So the other mystery is... is that really the body of Ken Lay that's about to be cremated in Aspen, Colorado? Apparently, a source close to Lay's family says there'll be a cremation taking place, and it'll be the ashes will be buried in Aspen. Why would they bury ashes? Don't you usually scatter them somewhere? It is a mountain town, and he once owned several properties there, and it was his favorite place in the world. There was a memorial service for the allegedly dead Ken Lay over the weekend.
I got this email, by the way. Rick, in the Sunday Oregonian business section, it was reported... By Vice Chairman of the Corporate Integrity and White Collar Crime Committee, the Chicago-based Defense Research Institute, blah, 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 blah. The law views Lay's death as though he had therefore never been indicted, tried, and convicted because he was busy appealing. Without that, the government cannot continue its effort to seize his assets through criminal courts. So because he was busy appealing this when he, quote, died, it is as though he was never convicted. And so therefore, his family will still get to keep all their money and everybody he scammed will be poor. There you go. Ain't that America? Let's see. The rich aren't like you and me, Rick. They have more money and their own rules. There you go.
Has anyone actually seen his body?
No.
No.
No, just his wife who refused to let us see. They won't let us see the Cruise baby. They won't let us see the stiff body of Ken Lay. What kind of a country is this? I'm a member of the mainstream media. I demand babies and corpses. Now. Anyway. Let's see. Cruise baby. Clean flicks. There's all of these phone calls. Let's see. Hello, Ron in Sherwood.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today, Rick?
How are you, brother? What's up?
Oh, I'm just outstanding in my field. I'm developing a new strain of information for the Army of Emersonia.
Okay. First of all, we should note that the Rick Emerson Show and by extension CBS Radio, does not condone, promote, endorse, advocate, or encourage any illegal activity.
No, this is totally legal.
The consumption...
State of Oregon.
Okay. The consumption or possession of any drug or Schedule One or anything that's illegal, of any, don't do drugs.
Yeah, don't do drugs, kids.
So information, of course, being slang for a particular type of leafy intoxicant. And so you are what? You're...
I've got a new strain that I'm developing. It's a cross between a plant called Jack Herrera and bubblegum.
Okay.
And I was going to call E13 for Emersonian 13.
Okay, so Jack Herrera, by the way, is the author of The Emperor Wears No Clothes, which is a pro-marijuana legalization book.
Yeah, just had a heart attack and double bypass this year, but he should be doing well.
So you are creating a new strain of this plant, this information.
Sir.
And so you, now, do you have one of those doctor's cards for your asthma or something?
Oh, no. I had, let's just say asthma. That's good.
Okay. All right. And so you're going to name it what?
E13.
And that's for what again?
Emersonian 13.
Now, what is the 13 for?
M, marijuana.
I think they've cracked your code now.
13th letter of the alphabet.
All right. We do not advocate or promote this or condone this in any way.
And Clyde's Ground Zero will be ready probably about the same time the game rolls out. His own information strain as well.
It should know, by the way, that we should know that we are only conveying this information in our role as journalistic gatekeepers and disseminators of news.
Yeah, that's a press release.
Yes, it is. Yeah, well, it is not my job. Our job as a news gathering and disseminating organization is to hold a mirror up to society, to pass along this information without comment or judgment, without editing. It is not our role to decide
That's why I figured your show would be the best place to roll it out.
So to speak.
Have a good one, sir.
Somebody's a little high.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing some quality control, you know.
When would this be ready?
Well, they're in seed set right now. So the seeds, it'll probably be about 3 weeks before the seeds are ready. And then another month after that, they can be planted.
All right. I don't advocate any of this.
No, of course not.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Do we have to break?
Yeah, we have a lot of spots today.
All right, I got all these calls. Cruise Baby thing, Emmy nominations, Clean Flicks in Lake Oswego. All right, if y'all are on hold, hang tight. We'll come back. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We will just do a bunch of phone calls right away. We can get these taken care of. Later on, we have a Storm Large from Rockstar Supernova going to be joining us. We have CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. We have to get to Enemy of the People because we didn't get to it last week. We have Week in Geek. All of that is the Rick Emerson Show live on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Right.